Tune in our good friend, Giants Insider, who joins us now here on Sports Saturday in the TikTok Jewelers guest line, our good friend, Patricia Traina. Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
It's been a long time. I hope you're happy and healthy and all good in the Big Apple.
Well, thanks. I'm healthy. I'm happy to say that, but I'll be even happier if somehow they figure out how we're going to have a football season so we can see what this new Giants team looks like.
Yeah, well, let's get into all of that, but I think we have to start with some of the craziness here. But in the kicker, Aldrick Rosas, just a bad weekend for him last weekend, huh?
Yeah,
tragic.
Very disappointing, but you know what? Everybody, you know, I get it. Everybody's ready to move on and hang the kid, but I think on a deeper level, you have to look at the human element here and ask yourself, why was he allegedly drinking at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning or before the, you know, the accident, I think, happened at 8:25 in the morning? Who really, you know, engages in a cocktail or two, you know, that early in the morning? So it just sounds like there's something, I don't know, maybe deeper going on if these allegations are true. And you wonder, you know, how the kid is. And, you know, it sounds like he needs help. And I think you have to look at that aspect from a human perspective, as opposed to just being so quick to say, oh, let's get rid of him.
No, I totally agree, and you got to get the whole story before you make a decision anyway. But so let's talk about this team, Patricia. I mean, I think there's a lot to like. I mean, I'm not sitting here and saying they're a Super Bowl contender, but, you know, I think the offensive line is obviously improved. I think they have weapons on offense. I think the defense looks like it's improved as well. You might think I'm crazy too, but I think Daniel Jones last year was the best quarterback in the NFC East. I mean, I think if you put Daniel Jones and his skill sets on the Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys last year, they win 12 games. I really believe that. I mean, how is it is it craziness for me to think the Giants could win this NFC East?
You know what? I don't think at this point you can say it's crazy, because there are a lot of questions, but, you know, I just think that there's so many things that we don't have answers to. You know, we don't know what the offense is going to look like exactly. We can kind of piece it together and we can figure it out, but we don't know for sure. We don't know how that defense is going to look. I mean, I think we could probably say that it's probably reasonably to expect that the Giants offense will score and they'll be a little bit better. But my big concern is, you know, will that defense be able to hold opponents from scoring and topping what the offense does?
So in Jeff's, you know, the thing he's trying to speak into existence this fall, with a world in which the Giants can win the NFC East, is that defense the bigger hurdle, or is it something else? You know, I mean, I guess I'm asking, do you think they have what it takes to do it, or is it more like one of the other teams you just see is like prohibitively at this point probably better suited to be able to pull that off?
I mean, look, I get it. You know, we want something to cling to, and I would love for them to win the NFC East. But to my mind, there are just too many questions on that defensive side of the ball. We have been hearing for, what, 3-4 years now, oh, we're going to generate a pass rush through the scheme. Have we seen it? No. And then what happens? Go back and look at how many times the Giants defense has blown a lead
for the
team by not being able to defend. It's happened way too many times. And, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's Eli playing good football or if it's Daniel Jones. You need the defense to make the stop. You need to keep the other, you know, the offense from the other side off the field. And they haven't been able to do that. So to me, that is the biggest question mark. And now you have Patrick Graham coming in, who I've heard is a good coach, but, you know, look at what he had down in Miami. I think in some categories, their defense was worse than the Giants last year. Now, part of that was because they were getting rid of guys left and right. They had some injuries, but just a lot of uncertainty regarding that defense. And then you throw in the DeAndre Baker situation. You throw in, okay, are they going to have a pass rush? Are they finally going to get Leonard Williams on court to where he starts living up to his potential? Just a lot of uncertainty, I think, on that defense to where I would stop short of saying that maybe the Giants are going to win the NFC East. I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year, but I don't know that I would quite put them in the NFC East title this year.
Patricia, give us an idea about Joe Judge. I mean, I think he checks all the boxes in terms of what, you know, you're looking for in a head coach in terms of what he said, and it looks like he's a great preparer, and you know, hear what Saban said about him, and you hear what Belichick said about him, but give us an idea what Giant fans can expect from the new head coach.
Well, I like him. I had a chance to speak with him one-on-one this past week, and we talked about a variety of different things. I think he has vision as to what he wants to accomplish and how he wants to get there. You know, a lot of coaches, when you hear them in their opening press conference or introductory press conference, they give you the usual spiel, you know, oh, we're going to win, we're going to enforce culture, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then they kind of make it up as they go along. And sometimes it doesn't come to fruition. I think Judge has a plan how to get there. I think he's organized. I don't know necessarily if everything, you know, of the plan that I picked up, I don't know if all that's going to result or get him the results he's looking for, but I like that he, you know, I like his attitude. He a lot of people think, oh, he's Belichick Jr. I don't see that in him. I see somebody who's a little bit more personable. I see someone who is very protective of the franchise and players and the coaches, and a guy who just kind of wants to do the right thing at the end of the day and, you know, also to an extent cooperate with other people, you know, represent the fans, cooperate with the media. So I just see a guy who, for a rookie head coach, so far he said all the right things, he's doing all the right things, but at the end of the day we'll see if it translates into wins, which is the big thing that we need to measure a coach by.
Patricia, you've been around the Giants for a long time and the NFL for a long time. How important is the head coach to an NFL organization?
Very important. Very important. I've said this many times. The difference between a team that wins four games and a team that maybe wins nine games is the coaching. And it all starts with the head coach. And, you know, you go back and you look at last year with Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur, good man. I have nothing but good things to say about Pat Shurmur. But in putting together the program that he did, the assistant coaches and the structure and just everything, it really, you know, that team, I look at that team last year, and they should have won way more games than the four they won. And it was very disappointing. So I do think a head coach, you know, because it all starts with a head coach. You got to have somebody in there who has an idea of what he's doing, who has a plan, who believes in the plan, and who's realistic about the expectations and the results that come from the plan. And, you know, I can't honestly say that I think Pat Shurmur was like that last year. Now, with Joe Judge so far, I think he is realistic. I think he, you know, has a plan. But again, time will tell, because all it takes is for some, you know, monkey wrench to be thrown into the mix, and now everything's out the window.
Going off of what Jeff was just saying and what you were explaining about what you've seen with the importance of head coaching, where is their role most felt? Is it like the more tangible pieces like game management or X's and O's or the way they structure practices, or is it how they build their staff and delegate to that staff and the people that report to them that they then influence?
Well, I've always equated it to a CEO type of situation. You know, you have an organization and you have your directors and then you have your vice presidents and then you have your CEOs, and it just creates like a org chart, if you will. And I just think, you know, when you have a CEO style head coach, which is what Joe Judge is, now you can dip your hand into everything. You're not locked into, say, for example, special teams or offense. And I think that was a mistake of, you know, that Shurmur made. I think that was a mistake that Ben McAdoo made. You know, you have to have your hand in every facet of the operation. And I see Joe Judge as being that type of guy. You know, it's interesting because when we had him on a conference call last month, he talked about, you know, the offense. He talked about the defense. And I said to him, well, what about special teams? Since that's your area of expertise, you know, how involved are you going to be? And he basically said, look, I'm going to be involved in every facet of the game. But Tom McGahee, the special teams coordinator, he's going to run the special teams. I'm not going to take it over, and, you know, yeah, I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, he basically inferred that he's not going to take it over and micromanage Tom McGahee, even though special teams is his area of expertise. So that's the type of coach I think typically does pretty well. Now, there are exceptions. You know, you look at Andy Reid down in Kansas City. He calls his own plays, if I'm not mistaken, and he's been very successful. But for the most part, the coaches that tend to have success on a consistent basis are more of the CEO-style coaches.
We are talking to Big Blue insider Patricia Traina here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Patricia, I think it's been pretty interesting. The experts out there that laughed at the Daniel Jones signing or draft pick a couple years ago have come out now and have kind of had to say they made some mistakes here. I mean, do you think that Daniel Jones is turning a corner here in the public opinion world in the NFL?
I think so. I think the more you see and you hear from him, the more there is to like. I mean, quite frankly, I understand why some people were flabbergasted with that pick. You know, nobody expected Daniel Jones to go at number six.
I know, Patricia, but nobody's been laughed at like the Giants were laughed at. I mean, some of these guys, you know, you watch the coverage during the draft, and there were people falling out of their chairs laughing, mocking this kid, mocking Gettleman and the organization for this decision.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but given how the Giants have progressed, or I should say how they've slid downhill, people are going to be more critical. So, you know, it didn't surprise me, but to your question about, you know, am I surprised that people are turning around? Sometimes you got to give these guys a chance, you know, and I think a lot of people figured, oh, here we go. Here's Dave Gettleman being dopey and, you know, trying to be smart and outsmart the rest of the league with something, you know, they don't know. I don't know that necessarily that was the case. I think, you know, they needed a quarterback. They wanted to wait, you know, and we all know how the year before he was absolutely in love with Saquon. He might as well have taken a billboard out in Times Square to advertise he was going to take Saquon at number two, which, you know, basically put him out of the running for any of those other quarterbacks. But he wasn't going to make that same mistake twice. And I think given, you know, what Daniel has done, you know, he's been, actually, if you think about it, you look at Phil Simms' rookie year, you look at Eli Manning's rookie year, Daniel Jones has had, you know, the best production out of those three.
He had a huge year.
You can go back and you can look at some of the other guys. So, yeah, I do think people are starting to change their opinion that maybe that was a good pick after all.
Patricia, we appreciate the time. As always, stay safe down there, and we'll do this again down the road.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, thanks so much.
Take care.